Today on Real Radio.
What if there's a reason for what's going on? You would have said that in the crowd perhaps that day. Could there be a reason to this? We're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled in front of us, they would say. The argument this morning is, though, what about our lives today? Is there a reason to what's going on in the world around us? Is there a reason with what's going on in my own life? Oh, the Bible makes it very clear there is a reason. God is in control. And you'll see how and why in a moment.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers the first in a series of presentations, all of which look at the most pivotal week in history. Often known as Passion Week, this is where Jesus of Nazareth, in his 30s, entered Jerusalem on a donkey. And here is where his fulfillment of prophecies really begin to ramp up. Now, to get the full effect, try and put yourself back into that time and place during the Roman Empire as Jesus, Yeshua, makes this entrance. And regardless of your personal beliefs of certain religious figures or religious views, just ask yourself this question. What if there's a reason for what is going on? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Luke chapter 19, turn there if you would. We're going to be in verses 29 to 44. I guess it'd be good to kind of insert that title into maybe what have been in the minds of those that were on that Palm Sunday road, that Palm Sunday path 2,000 years ago. What if there's a reason for what's going on? It's a very interesting setting, you know. Jesus has now come. He's on the back of a little donkey. It's Palm Sunday morning, and the people are gathered around. In fact, we understand from antiquity, from Josephus and other historians of the day, that Jerusalem has now swollen to over 2.5 million people on this week in history because it is Passover week. And there broke out a shouting. There broke out a crowd, and it began to assemble and grow bigger and bigger as people began to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The word Hosanna is save us now. Save us now. It's a cry for deliverance and salvation. And they were crying out to Jesus. Up until now, for 3.5 years, Jesus had been calling the people to be quiet about his kingship, to keep the fact that he had done a great miracle and that he had preached a great word. When people were excited, he told them, tell no one about this, for his time had not yet come, said the Bible. That is, the hour had not been present for him to declare his kingship. But everything's different now on Palm Sunday morning. On Palm Sunday morning, Jesus not only allows himself to be receiving the accolades, but the nation will begin to greet him, as it were, of their conquering king. The difference is, though, Jesus came, church, listen carefully, Jesus came on this day in history to deliver Israel from their sins, not from the Roman Empire. There's a big difference. See, the people were saying, save now, Hosanna. They meant, and we know this, they meant deliver us from Rome. Free us from this horrible political tyranny that is upon us with the Roman Empire. Jesus, send these Italians back to Rome. Get them out of here. They wanted to be their own people again. They wanted to have their own land again. But that's not why Jesus came. Oh, let me tell you, that's what the second coming is all about. When Jesus comes back in the second coming, it is to deliver Israel from the tyranny of those that would occupy her. But his first coming had nothing to do with politics. It had everything to do with salvation. Jesus was coming to go to the cross. He knew that. In fact, you'll see this morning as we get into this message that as everyone's cheering, Jesus was of a completely different attitude. What if there's a reason for what's going on? You would have said that in the crowd perhaps that day. Could there be a reason to this? We're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled in front of us, they would say. Could there be a reason to all of this? They would ask. The argument this morning is, though, what about our lives today? Is there a reason to what's going on in the world around us? Is there a reason with what's going on in my own life? Oh, the Bible makes it very clear there is a reason. God is in control. And you'll see how and why in a moment. So follow along with me, if you would. Luke chapter 19, verse 29 says, "And it came to pass when he, Jesus, drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, two little villages, at the Mount of Olivet," that is the Mount of Olives, "that he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go into a village opposite you, where as you will enter into the city, you will find a colt tied there, in which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as Jesus had said to them. And as they were loosening the colt, the owner came out and said to them, 'Why are you loosening the colt?'" Translated, "What are you stealing my little baby donkey for?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." And then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw there on their clothes and the donkey and set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Verse 38 tells us what they said. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said to them, "I tell you that if they should keep silent, these stones would immediately cry out." Now as he drew near, listen, church, he saw the city, that's Jerusalem, and wept over it. And this is what he said, "If you had known, even you, especially this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in from every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another." Here's the reason why. "Because you did not know the time of your visitation." What a bizarre moment. Everyone now is starting to shout. There's good people in the crowd beginning to think, man, we're Jews. We've read our Bibles. It's the time of Passover. We're very excited because we're recognizing that God, listen, had promised the forgiveness of our sins and the deliverance of earthly kingdoms against us, that the Lord says he's going to come someday and establish his kingdom. Listen, that was in their mind in Jerusalem before Jesus even got on the back of this donkey. They were remembering. And then all of a sudden, there's a crowd coming over the crest of the Mount of Olives, and a large assembly begins to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And I got to tell you, if you were in the crowd back in those days, as a Jewish, Bible-believing Jew, the hair on your arms would have stood up. You would have said, "What is going on?" People might have been starting to say to one another, "Could this be?" They would have known what the scriptures announced, that the king comes on a donkey. They were to look for that. They were to look for the Hosanna shouts recorded in the Psalms. So everyone begins to talk. Everyone's getting very excited. But listen, church, always, always read the Bible very carefully. Never rush through the Bible. Don't be a casual reader of the Bible. You'll miss too much. Because in the crowd, the vast majority of the people missed the entire meaning of his coming. They wanted Rome lifted from their backs. That's not why Jesus came. He was first going to take care of their sins at the cross, and then later on, take care of Rome. Not only take care of Rome, take care of the world. The first coming of Jesus Christ is recorded in what is called Palm Sunday. In fact, Bible students eschatologist. That's a big word. Those who study Bible prophecy, get a load of this. There are two comings that Jesus Christ is involved in. Two comings. The first one is Palm Sunday. He comes to Jerusalem, he comes to Israel, and he's presented as king. That is officially an eschatology, that is the prophetic study of the Bible, his first coming. It's not Bethlehem in the manger. It's his first coming here called Palm Sunday. His second coming is very much like his first coming in some ways. His second coming, he comes again to Jerusalem, he comes again to Israel, and it is a literal coming. He will go through the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate. He did that in his first coming. That's why you've seen pictures. In fact, in the hallway to my right, your left, there's a painting there of Jesus going through the Eastern or Golden Gate. When did that happen? Palm Sunday. This day in history. And then he's going to come through, according to the book of Ezekiel, through that golden gate again, a second time. And that second time, when he goes through that golden gate into the city of Jerusalem at the second coming, it will be again a physical coming. He will touch his foot upon the Mount of Olives. He will go through the golden gate there to the Temple Mount. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ will begin to establish what is called the millennium or the millennial reign of Christ. And that is the second coming. First coming to Israel and to the Jewish people. Second coming to Israel and the Jewish people. In between the first coming and the second coming is a Gentile event. Anybody know what that's called? The rapture. It is a Gentile event where Christ doesn't come. He appears in the atmosphere above. And he catches his church unto himself, says the Bible. And the church and Christ returns back into the presence of the Father, recorded as you see in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in John chapter 14. First event, Jewish, first coming. Second coming, Jewish again. Christ physically returns. The rapture nestled in the middle regarding those events. We are looking at the Palm Sunday event to three very important things. Jot it down if you would as we looked at them this morning. What if there's a reason to what's going on? And we're looking at it in a historical sense. In our history, as believers, as humans for that matter, what happened on earth? Why is this day so important? Why does Palm Sunday cause the Christian to stand in absolute assurance of how holy and awesome this day is in history? What gives us this unction to have the passion that we have this week all the way through to Resurrection Week? It's quite scientific, church, as we look at it right now. So get your pen ready. And I hope you had your coffee or whatever you needed today, because we got to put our thinking cap on today. It's very important. Point number one, in our history, why is this day important? For this reason, because the Lord had given Israel his promise. God had stated in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament, which the Jews had, it was this, that his son, that his deliverer would come to the people of Israel. Verse 42, it says, if you had known even you, especially this your day. Church, mark that. That's in Luke 19, verse 42. Will you mark it in your Bibles? This is why it's important. Jesus is holding the Jewish people accountable to know this day. You say, well, golly, Jack, that's pretty tough, isn't it? No, he was holding them accountable to know this day because the Bible had been written to tell them plainly how clear this day was to be for them to understand. Now, mark this down. As we look at these slides before us, and as an artist shows you the depiction of these things, and we can step through these slides a little bit more quicker. The first thing is this, that the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, they knew what the Bible had said. Church, listen, don't raise your hand. But do you know what the Bible says? Well, yeah, I know what the Bible says. Are you sure you know what the Bible says? And then secondly, if you're sure you know what the Bible says, good for you, are you doing what the Bible says? The scribes and Pharisees at this time that's depicted here in these paintings, the first coming of Christ on Palm Sunday, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish leadership, the religious leadership, they knew what the scriptures taught. In fact, you remember when Jesus was born, what did Herod do? Herod called for the scribes and the Pharisees to tell him, does your Bible talk about where the king of Israel is to be born? Do you remember that at Christmas? And they said, yes, it says there that he'll be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. They knew the scripture. The amazing thing is, this day in history, they should have known to tell the people, and the people should have been very aware of how special this day was. Second thing is this, that it had been known in antiquity. That is, ancient Israel had talked about his coming. Ancient Israel had talked about the Lord's coming. It was not a secret. And so I want you to look at this verse, very, very specific. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Let's move the slides to Daniel 9, 24. I want you to get your pens out and have this ready, and you got to put your thinking cap on. Hold this slide up here for just a bit. When Jesus said what he said to them a moment ago, listen how direct he said. He said, if you had known, the word is not, oh shucks, too bad for you, nah, 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 you missed it. Oh no, he's holding them accountable. Since you should have known, you should have absolutely known this day. On what day is this? What we call Palm Sunday. He says, especially in this your day. My goodness, how could I say it today? It would be like this. Didn't we announce to you that we were going to meet at 9:30 this morning? Haven't we printed it up? Hasn't it been in bulletins? Didn't we tell you that we'd be meeting on Palm Sunday? Then why are you late? Why did you miss it? Why did you not come? Why were you not here? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Didn't you know that my Father published it in the Bible? Didn't you read it? Didn't you believe it? Why didn't you come? He's weeping. You'll see it in a moment. He is weeping while everyone's shouting Hosanna. Jesus weeps. Why? Note takers, Bible students, get your pen ready, and we'll take a close look at this. In Daniel chapter 9, which is the, my goodness, first of all, the book of Daniel, you will never understand Bible prophecy without reading the book of Daniel. You'll never get it. You'll never understand the book of Revelation without reading the book of Daniel first. You know, when people say, I don't understand Bible prophecy, it's because you haven't read the Old Testament and you've neglected the book of Daniel. Read the book of Daniel. Why? Book of Daniel is considered the key to Bible revelation, and chapter 9 is the absolute key to understanding Bible interpretation when it comes to prophecy. Watch this. This is amazing. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it says here that 70 weeks are determined for the Jewish people, the holy city. And he gives a list of 7 things that are important. Follow along with me carefully. In Daniel 9, verse 24 is where it begins. 70 weeks, in our raw reading of it in the Hebrew, it's simply this. 70 sevens. The word is hepsted. We don't know what else it means at this moment. We don't need to know at this moment. We are just explorers. We are adventurers. We are investigators. And we read this in the Bible. 70 sevens. The word weeks, the old King James translators put the word week for 7 or weeks for collection of sevens. 70 sevens, or 70 times 7, 490 years. You say, well, that's how do you know that? Watch this. 490 years are determined, the word is determined, appointed, that is by God, for your people. Who's the revelation given to? Daniel. Was Daniel Canadian or Jewish? He's Jewish. So if he's Jewish, who is his people? The Jewish people. And for your holy city, what city could that be if you're Jewish? Only one. It's not LA. It's Jerusalem. Why? Daniel might say, why is that important? He goes on. The Bible says, point number one here, to finish the transgressions. Really? There's a 490-year segment of time, of years, that in that time period, that this is what's going to happen. There's going to be the finishing of transgression. Someone is going to take care of transgressions. That's interesting. Who could that be? Number two, to make an end of sins. Wow. Well, wait a minute. Man by nature is a sinner. We have nasty thoughts and selfish thoughts, and we steal cookies at the youngest of ages. So that doesn't mean about the sin nature. It means atonement for sin. Someone is going to come during a 490-year period of timing that is collectively put together, 490 years, and one of the things that will be happening at that time is someone is going to make an end of the power of sin. Who could that be? Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Someone is going to come and be a reconciler between God and sinners. He's going to be the mediator, we would use that term, the go-between, okay? So Daniel might be scratching his yarmulke and saying, wow, what is this? This is an amazing prophecy. It is incredibly detailed and broad in scope. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Whoever he is going to usher in salvation and what we would say today, being born again. Whoever's going to bring this to pass is going to introduce mankind to a new life. A life by faith. What does the Bible say? That by faith we are declared righteous by God, doesn't it? Number five, this hasn't happened yet. To seal up vision, really, to bring things to a conclusion. Yes, not only that, and prophecy, to complete what is written in the Bible. Didn't Jesus say that the word of God will not, heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God will never pass away until, listen, everything's going to be fulfilled. Everything must be fulfilled. Prophecy. Number seven, to anoint the most holy. This is the beginning of eternity. When Christ returns and the millennium, as the Bible has the reign of Christ, when this physical world is over, then eternity begins. That is the anointing of the most holy. Now, verse 25, watch this. And listen, that is, wouldn't you not say verse 24 was a mouthful? Is that amazing? Whoever's coming, this is a very, very special thing, and it has to do with time. And Jesus, remember, insert this reminder. Jesus said, you should have known today. You should have known. How could you have missed this? Why? Because verse 25, know therefore and understand. This was given to Daniel. The angel says to Daniel, know and understand. It's a military term. It's to walk up like a colonel does up to a subordinate and say, listen, I'm going to give you this order. Here it is. It's a military command. You will know this and you will understand this. And here it is. That, A, from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild the Jerusalem, that's the first thing. Daniel, there's going to come a time in the future when someone is going to be asked to go forth and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. A second thing would be this. The Messiah will come to Jerusalem. The commandment to go forth and to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until, B, the Messiah, the King. So the Messiah is coming to Jerusalem. Watch what happens. There shall be 7 weeks or seven sevens, 49, and 62 weeks. Seven times 62, 434. You say, well, what? 434 minutes? 434 hours? 434. What do we know about this? We wouldn't have known anything about this until time played out. And we come to the book of Nehemiah in your Bible. And then everything began to come together when it needed to come together. Watch this. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. That's almost lifted right out of the book of Nehemiah. Why? What happened? And just keep it on the screen here right now. This is where we're at. Jesus is saying, how come you didn't recognize the day? You should have known. In other words, you guys have all read the book of Daniel. How come you guys are not understanding this moment? It was available to all of you to know my Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What If There's a Reason for What Is Going On? Now, this is part of a series we're presenting this week on Real Radio because this is the time of year that followers of Jesus celebrate and recognize that this is history's most pivotal week. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills declare that He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Inside you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.